thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everybody, welcome. Tuesday edition of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. I'm Dan Bock. Great to be with you here today. And boy, what a last 24 hours we've had. And the next 24 hours, vitally important, I think, for the future of this industry that is so very important to me and so many other people. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Do give a shout out to our sponsor, FanDuel. They put their name on this show each and every day. We thank them for that. Again, we'll get back to, you know, the game analysis. It's funny because, you know, normally in October, it's like, I get a break from breaking down games after doing it every day for MLB. And then you've got the crossover with NFL and college. It's like, take a breath. Not really, because we've got, larger industry issues that we got to tackle here today. But we will get back to the game analysis to help you be a winning player tomorrow. Hopefully get some hockey conversation going to kick off of the NHL season. Or I guess the puck is dropped is a better way to say it, is tomorrow. So not a lot of games tomorrow. Most of the big slate is on Thursday. But we're going to try and bring you some content here, at least in this month of October here. Early in the week for hockey. So for those of you who want to grind it, you can. Do know hockey incentives do get kicked off as well. We've got a hockey grind down that JMB is doing. So we're really amping up a lot of the content on RG. So if you're new to the sport, give it a read. I think it could certainly help you out if you want to play the games here this week. But, you know, this Tuesday, this is usually a day where I love to look back at the games, especially Monday Night Football, and see, you know, who the big winners were, you know, which plays swung what. And yesterday kind of exemplified the drama that not only do you get in real sports, but you get in daily fantasy sports. And, of course, that was that fumble late, which probably should not have been ruled a recovery since the Seattle defender batted it out of the back of the end zone. It was ruled a recovery. That DraftKings point that the Seattle defense received catapulted a guy up the leaderboard and swung upwards of $900,000 last night. That alone is an amazing story. I mean, I've been a part of bad beat stories myself. Dustin Johnson, pretty brutal to say the very least. But that one is really, really bad because honestly, I think it came down to the official not knowing the rule. He clearly saw what happened. He didn't know it. So obviously that swung, you know, who potentially was going to win that game, because you would have had the Lions, likely on about the one-yard line. And at worst-case scenario, they were going to kick a field goal, which would have dropped the Seattle defense even more points. And even if they would have stopped them without a turnover, he wouldn't have won the million. So basically, the only thing that could have happened was a turnover at that moment. It took place. Chipotle Addict is your winner. Congrats to him. He is a real good player. I mean, a top, I believe, 20 player on RG. We'll see if we can't reach out to him and find out his story, but just an unbelievable turn of events in that game. But we've also had a pretty unbelievable turn of events in daily fantasy. And if you want to get my take, my opinion on the matter itself regarding DraftKings and Ethan and the leak of data, listen to yesterday's podcast. I pretty much sum up everything there, and I stand by what I said yesterday. It seemed very divided. Some people agreed with me and said, you know what, Dan, well said. A lot of you did not agree with me nearly as much. But the one thing that I spoke about yesterday, which came to fruition, was, and ultimately was the worst thing that can happen, is you're having major media outlets take this story and running with it. And I knew the moment that I saw some of these headlines and some of the stories that were being written in the context in which they were being written, this was going to take place. And the sad thing about it is there are so many inaccuracies in a lot of these statements, but at this point in time, it doesn't really matter anymore because they're out there. And, you know, the New York Times, I mean, they obviously put the headline out there. Insider trading leads to, what, $350 million win. And, you know, Deadspin had a similar kind of headline like that. Now, the New York Times, I don't give them much credit for anything, but at least they did change their headline after they got some feedback from, you know, I'm assuming a lot of people via Twitter, because it was really outrageous. And I still don't think the story did it justice. You had Forbes do a story where they basically, you know, misquoted Cal in terms of the timeline of when, you know, he was told that people had information. And it's just a mess. It's just an absolute mess this morning. And again, I don't want to get on the right, the wrong, because that's all been played. You know, at this point in time, I think that we as an industry, you know, we've got to look in the next 24 to 48 hours, and we just need to realize that the public relations for us as an industry is vitally important. You know, a couple years ago, when things go wrong, you can issue statements, you can hope that they go away, and you know what, in a week or two, they probably do. But at this point in time, we've never had CNN, we've never had New York Times, all these major media outlets pick up on these stories. I mean, it's amazing. And I know many of you out there who are really plugged in the industry, same thing has happened to you. You're getting text messages, you're getting emails from people who know what you do, and they send you this New York Times story and say, what's this about? I can't count how many people have done this. And to me, when you've got, you know, people who are not plugged in the very least about it and are you know, obviously thinking that that the games that we play are rigged, and that's exactly what's happening. Like, the narrative that people have here is, oh, the games are not on the up and up, the games are rigged. I don't believe that for a second. As I stated yesterday, there's a lot of things that we need to improve as an industry, but I still have faith that the games themselves are above board. Now, I think the question and basically what we need to do in FanDuel and DraftKings and Jason and Nigel, they need to get out in front of this and they need to do some damage control. They've never had to really do damage control before. Basically, if they ever did, it was here on RG. This stems way beyond us, because you're talking about a public perception of the games themselves. Not just an insider's perception. You're talking about the general public, which you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars trying to acquire customers, and that is in question at the moment. I don't think it should be, but based on some of the inaccurate statements from major media outlets, they absolutely are. And I think this is a moment where the sites need to come together and not just issue statements. And of course, yesterday, initial statement was, we're going to review everything internally and make sure all our safeguards in place. Then the New York Times ran a story, and next thing you know, players temporarily cannot play on other sites. I know some people don't like that, but ultimately, for FanDuel and DraftKings, it's the right move. And I say that because public perception is everything. And if they did not have that, it would look infinitely better. It would look infinitely worse. Because let's face it, in that story, it would say, oh, and employees on FanDuel and DraftKings are still allowed to play on opposing sites. And that at least gives the idea of they don't care, they don't think it's an issue, and the games are still rigged. And that's the last thing that we want. So everything that I think they do moving forward, not only do they need to do it to ensure their games are above board, but they need to do it to appease the public perception of what we do. So if I was in charge, what I absolutely would do right now, and I mentioned this yesterday, because I don't necessarily think it solves the problem, but what it does do is it puts the public's concern aside, and that's basically bringing in a third party to audit and provide oversight on what's happening on your site. If you've got no skeletons in the closet, and I don't think FanDuel and DraftKings do, I don't see a negative in bringing somebody in and say, okay, we understand there are concerns. We realize there was this data breach. And the most important thing to us is that the public is comfortable with our games and feels that everybody is on an equal footing. So, until further notice, we're going to be bringing in a third-party auditing group to look at our operations and tell us where we can improve, if there are any improprieties going on, and do this publicly. Again, I know I'm not in the, I don't run a company that's worth $1 billion and potentially could IPO, and maybe that's part of these problems, and it's easy for me to sit in front of my microphone in my office and spout these opinions off, but I just feel like you wait, and then that narrative is already drawn, and there's nothing we can do about it now. So let's, if you're a site, shouldn't the important thing be to change the narrative into, you know, what they're reporting is incorrect to, okay, there was a screw up and we're going to make sure it never happens again. Because in my mind, that's what we need to do as an industry. Because ultimately, that's, I think, the most important thing, the games themselves. And within that process, you know, hopefully the sites can, you know, come up with a better solution in terms of who has access to what data, because a lot of the concerns that I have on this front have really nothing to do with what took place a couple weeks ago with Ethan. And that's the kind of amazing thing about it, is I don't think any cheating went on there. I really don't. But I also think that it certainly does not hurt to put in additional safeguards so it doesn't down the road. And even though the sites might look at it and say it's not necessary, we've got it covered, it doesn't matter what you think anymore. It really doesn't. So to me, that's kind of the route that I go on this. But there's, you know, a ton of unanswered questions here. I mean, you've got a lot of these players, you know, that said it's a temporary situation where players can't play on opposing sites. What does that mean? Obviously, we're going to get more clarification, I think, on this here, hopefully today. But, you know, you've got a lot of guys who have seats that they've won on opposing sites, even beyond just FanDuel and DraftKings. And, you know, are they allowed to play in those? How is that situation handled? Does the sites just give them the cash value on that ticket, on that entry that they have, and then, you know, run additional qualifiers? I mean, I think there's a lot of kind of interesting questions on that front. I mean, people have even speculated to me, you know, are any of these employees just going to quit and play? And it's possible. I don't think that's anything that's going to happen in the short term, because I think the kind of public outcry and the outlash that would come from, you know, something like that happening wouldn't be particularly great. So I doubt we'll see it in the short term. But, you know, when everything dies down, I could easily see it, because there's no doubt that there's a lot of people who work at these sites make much more money as they do players than they do working at the sites themselves. So it'll be very, very interesting to see, you know, where we go from here on so many different levels. But the long and short of it is, let's just hopefully get out in front of this. And this is beyond a storm here. You know, this is a freaking hurricane. I mean, this is about as important of a next, you know, 48 hours I think we've ever had as an industry. And again, it's frustrating to me that it's kind of played out in the way it has, because I do think it was absolutely avoidable. Now, as I talked about a good bit yesterday, maybe this will make us grow stronger as an industry, and I really hope it does. But, you know, we just can't sit back and hope it goes away. And the importance of getting this right, it stems beyond just me or Roto Grinders, but, you know, you're talking about thousands of people, millions of people potentially in terms of players, but, you know, there are thousands of people's lives who would be affected by daily fantasy if it suddenly went away. I don't think that's on the horizon, but I think a lot of people kind of take that for granted. There are a number of people who play daily fantasy to provide for their families and have quit really good and lucrative jobs to play daily fantasy to provide for their families. Whether it's, you know, somebody like Notorious who works here, we've got Mike Petta, you've got Drew Dinkmeyer, you've got a number of guys who whose lives would absolutely change at a snap of a finger. Yours truly. I mean, for me, I approach this podcast in Roto Grinders as a hobby. It's turned into a job, and now it's, you know, a pretty awesome career. I go back to being stay-at-home dad, but there's a lot of people who really look and rely on this income for you know, their well-being. And I really feel for those people because, FanDuel and DraftKings absolutely have the world to lose. Their investors' money, including, you know, the future of, you know, what their sites could become. But I think we often forget about a lot of the other people who are involved in this industry who have done nothing wrong whatsoever, enjoy the game. And you know, beyond the people who do it to provide, think of the, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who love this game as just an everyday distraction. Think of the people who need this game as that everyday distraction. There are countless number of people who do this to get away from the rigors of everyday life. The grind, the job, the wife, the kids. They go to bed. What do I get to do? I get to watch sports again. I get to care about them again. I get to follow my fantasy teams again. I mean, daily fantasy has brought more to my life that I can think of than just about anything, you know, outside of my family. It has garnered some of the best friendships and relationships I've come to know. And I know there's going to be more and more of those down the road, and I don't want to see those go away. And yes, maybe the game isn't the most social game for a lot of people out there, but I think we've built a pretty damn good community here at Roto Grinders, and I want to see it both continue and thrive moving forward. So, you know, I think, again, this next 24 to 48 hours, I think is really important. The good thing is, in my opinion, is, you know, we can grow from this, and that's really what I want to happen. And I still feel like there's people out there who just want the industry to fail and go away, and it's not about constructive criticism, and those people do bother me because, again, this means a whole lot to a whole lot of people. Same way when, you know, poker went away, how, you know, awful that was for a lot of those people as well. I don't want to see that happen to Daily Fantasy. I don't think it's going to happen to Daily Fantasy. And I know for a fact if we as an industry can be open, honest, transparent, and have nothing to hide, I don't think it's going to take place for Daily Fantasy. But we'll see. Let's cross our fingers and hope that all this takes place and we can overcome this. Because this is probably going to be the most difficult obstacle we will overcome. And honestly, I don't want to say we're lucky here, but the context of what happened has been so off. I'm thankful it was what it was and not something infinitely worse. I mean, this could cause us to, you know, obviously have better behind the scenes knowledge of who has access to what and have that controlled better than it's been ever before. Because again, the action that took place wasn't great. It wasn't something that should happen, but it's also not widespread corruption, quote unquote, insider trading. I don't believe that for a second. And if that was the case, if the games were 100% corrupted and there's proof of it, that would be infinitely worse. But again, as an industry, it's time for us to approach it as pretty much it, those things are true because that's what basically the public thinks. So for me as a player, I'm comfortable with it, but it's not always about me. It's about you know, what other people think of us. So those are my thoughts on to topics today. I'm hoping tomorrow we can get back to regular Daily Fantasy talk. I'd really love that. So that's my goal. Do me a favor. Give me a follow on Twitter at Dan_Bach. Leave your feedback here on rotogrinders.com. The podcast comments are fabulous. We thank you so much for that. Also, we're just started this weekend. We're going to run a week five free roll, $500. Basically, all you have to do, go to iTunes, rate, review this, and then fill out a form that basically verifies that you did step one, and that's rating this podcast. Doesn't have to be positive. If you don't like it, give me 1 star. If you like it, give me 5. Just be honest. That's all we want. And then basically we'll send you a link to the free roll that's going to take place here this Sunday. So again, there's basically a link at the top of the Roto Grinders podcast page and in our forums, but just kind of a thank you for all the people who have listened to us, you know, made us, you know, one of the most listened to, you know, fantasy podcasts, you know, out there. It's a huge deal. And I hope it comes across. Everything that I talk about here is passionate. And I try to be honest. I try to be fair to both you as a listener, to the sites as a business, to Roto Grinders as a company that puts food on my table. Like, all those things are really hard to balance within this show. And hopefully you see that that's what I do, and I hope you think that I do it well, because I'll tell you what, it's not an easy thing to do. It absolutely isn't. I try my best to be fair to everybody involved, and I thank you so much for listening and giving us an opportunity to give our thoughts on these important issues as we move into crunch time. But crossing my fingers tomorrow, less drama and more game analysis. That's the goal. So hopefully we have that for you. Certainly want to thank FanDuel, sponsor of this show. Again, if you haven't signed up for them, go through our links, get access to our incentives for 12 months. That's every sport, NFL, college football, college basketball, NBA, MLB next year. So you'll get all that stuff for you. All you do is sign up through our links. We thank them for their sponsorship. And we thank you for the listen and the download. Till next time, have yourself a great Tuesday. And we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.